Hello and welcome back to That Girl's Going Places. If you are brand new here, this is your first time ever listening to an episode, welcome. My name is Maria and I'm happy to have you here. And if you are recurring and you've been here before, thanks for coming back. I really, really appreciate it. It's one of my goals this year to just kind of reamp on the pod, and I know I took a pretty long hiatus from uploading episodes while I was in my transition into college, and it's definitely something that I want to bring back, and I hope that you're ready to hear some more episodes this year as well. So thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. If you clicked on the episode today, which you obviously did, you know that we're talking about mental health and therapy, and I'm hoping that you wanted to listen to this episode because you might need some extra little pushes to go to therapy, or you want to see what I've personally learned from it, or you just want to see someone else's perspective on what they've learned about their own mental health. So if those resonate with you, then you're definitely here for the right reason. Today I'm going to be going through and basically explaining some of the biggest takeaways that I've only learned in therapy. And quick sidebar, I do have a whole episode about my journey with therapy that I did, I think, over the summer, and if you want to listen to that first, probably not a bad idea. It just kind of discusses my own personal experience throughout my entire life going to therapy, but short little recap synopsis of that episode. I actually have been going to therapy since I was really young because I've had anxiety since I was really young, and so I was more so like my parents putting me in it when I was a lot younger, and then just this year it was the first time I kind of sought out therapy on my own and on my own terms. So now I've been seeing someone since the summer and she's helped me a lot. I'm still working on getting one at school. It is really, really tough to find a good fit. So it's definitely been a process. But anyway, that's kind of moral of the story, little overview. But again, listen to that episode if you want a little more in-depth journey of what got me to the therapist I'm with right now and why I go. So let's just dive right on into it. I have some notes pulled up on my computer. This is a hot tip for anyone who goes to therapy. Highly recommend this. Try to write down a note on your phone after every single session and just like word vomit whatever you can remember from the session. It doesn't even have to make a lot of coherent sense in the moment, but I know there's like a lot of information packed into the session, and if you can try to write down as many of those big insights that you had, it's just amazing to look back and see what you learned. Obviously, not everyone is recording a podcast and needing those notes to share them with the internet, but just for your own personal life, I think it's really nice to have kind of those takeaways ready to go, and you can always look back and have like a little extra support from your old sessions just because you have them written down. So I have all of them written down in front of me. This is the first episode that I've done laying down. I know that's like not a big deal to a lot of you, but I know that like a lot of people record their podcasts laying down, and for me it's like always felt like a work type situation, so I'm always sitting down at my desk, but I thought maybe if I'm laying down it'll just like be a little more casual. So that's where you can imagine me right now, laying down in my bed at home, and I have my computer in front of me, I have the mic in my hand, and we're just gonna get right on into it. All right, so I'm reading the first thing that I have. This was from a session in the summer, and this is one that I still to this day think about all the time. So definitely important one. And that is this metaphor of riding the wave. So a lot of what I've been working with my therapist on that we've kind of uncovered is really hard for me is feeling my feelings. I'm getting a lot better at it, but I'm definitely someone who tries to like distract myself and push them away until they get so intense that I can't anymore. So that's something that I've been working on, and this metaphor has really, really helped me. So it's about riding a wave. And what I have written down in my notes here is that if you picture, you know, you're in a lake, an ocean, whatever you want to think about. The waves are coming and you don't have to drown in the wave. No one's pushing you down to feel like you have to surrender to the wave and go under the water. But if it's wavy water, it's also hard to get out and off to shore right away. Obviously, that's kind of tumultuous conditions, and it's a little bit harder to try to push through the wave and like stop it and ignore it and get all the way to shore. So you have to find kind of that middle ground between drowning in it and trying to fight against it. And that's kind of where the metaphor comes in, that you just need to ride the wave out. And this translates to feelings, obviously, if you kind of catch my drift. No one is forcing you to have to completely surrender to the feeling and feel suffocated by it, especially if it's something like anxiety or depression. Those feelings are really, really intense. And if you just let yourself completely go into the feeling, it can be really scary, and no one needs you to do that. But it's also impossible to try to ignore the feeling and just, you know, quote unquote, get back to shore and ignore the conditions that you're in. So instead, you find that middle ground and you try to kind of ride the wave out and just feel the feeling as it comes. And that has really helped me. Honestly, like, that metaphor is something that sticks with me all the time. I'm a super visual person, so if you're like me and visualizations tend to help you out, this one is really, really helpful. I find myself, especially in kind of those tougher moments of having really hard feelings, you know, my brain like naturally either wants to just let myself go completely and feel it way too intensely that I need to, or push it down. And thinking of this metaphor really encourages me to just stop, kind of ride the wave out, feel the feeling as it comes, but not letting it get to that really intense point. So on that same note, I have another metaphor written down that we had talked about in that session. It's really similar to the ride the wave one, but maybe this one's gonna resonate with you more. This one is about rain and like a storm. So again, sit back wherever you are, kind of listen to this visualization and see where I'm going with it. So imagine you're in a thunderstorm. It's pouring rain, lightning, thundering. It's just not stopping. It's coming down, raining cats and dogs, the whole nine yards. So it's pointless to try to stand there in the rain, let's say you're outside, and yell at the rain to stop. Like, there's no way you can say, rain, go away. Like, there's no way you can do that. You can wish that it would stop and you can hope for that, but it's pointless to try to completely eliminate the rain coming down on you. But you can get an umbrella and a raincoat and rain boots and, you know, a coat if it's cold out, and you can make being outside in the storm as comfortable as possible so that you are able to survive it a little more comfortably before it's completely over. So if you kind of, again, see where I'm going with this in terms of feelings, very similar to the ride the wave metaphor. If it's raining, that's kind of the visualization of your feelings. They're coming down and they're really intense at the moment, but it's pointless to try to just yell at them to stop or go away or be eliminated completely. But instead, you can kind of gather the tools. So that's kind of the equivalent of the raincoat, the rain boots, the umbrella, etc. You can gather those tools to try to lower the intensity of what you're feeling and make the feeling more comfortable until it fully passes. So a lot of the tools that I would suggest would obviously be just normal self-care tools, and then obviously if it's right for you, therapy and anything that you talk about with your own personal therapist. And then again, self-care, journaling, baths, moving your body, talking to a friend, all the classics. Those are kind of the umbrella, raincoat, and rain boots that can get you through the storm, just because it's impossible to try to eliminate it completely in the moment. But there are things you can do to kind of find that middle ground, that gray area, and just make it a little more comfortable to get through until the feeling passes. So I'm looking now at the next few takeaways, and this is all from one session in August, and I'm like reading the list. This is such a good session. Honestly, I think about all these things all the time, and I don't even remember it being just in all one session. So these are a good few to talk about. The first one is just a quote that my therapist said that clearly was so powerful for me that I remembered it verbatim. She said, "You can either do something that will bring you a short amount of comfort, but a long amount of discomfort, or a short amount of discomfort for an extended comfort." So you can kind of think about that, like you'll do something that makes you happy in the short term, but uncomfortable in the long term, or opposite. Sometimes it takes you that short little amount kind of uncomfortable to reach a point of extended happiness and, you know, being content with your life. I think that this applies all the time. Just in all aspects of life, you usually have those smaller hurdles to get through, and almost without fail, like every time, there's something bigger and greater and more positive for you waiting on the other side of those small hurdles. I know it's hard to see that, but I think this quote really resonated with me for that reason, that even though sometimes it's hard to see, you do just have to stick through those smaller, shorter challenges, knowing that something longer is up ahead and something more enjoyable and extended and comfortable is on the rise for you if you can get through those challenges. This is another one that I literally like don't even remember was part of therapy, but again, this is like so powerful, and now I think about this in my life all the time, and I didn't know it was stemming from this one session in August, but it was the concept that in life, you should never do something because it's a should. So I put that word in quotes, like if it's something you feel like you should do or other people feel like you should do, that's never something that you'll want to follow. And a life filled with doing everything based on what you should do and following the shoulds is exhausting and inauthentic, and you'll just never feel like your true self because you're putting your entire life into the interest of others and the expectations of others. But life should follow the wants. So what is it that your true self really wants to do? What feels authentic? What feels energizing to you? Following an entire life of wants is going to feel so much better because you're only making choices that align with what you want to do and that align with your expectations of yourself, not others' expectations of you. The last one from this session that, again, I use all the time, like I'm telling you, this session popped off. I did not realize how much I use all these concepts to think about all the time. And this is that last one from this session. And that is the idea that if you are someone who struggles with anxiety, which I am, a lot of my therapy sessions focus around my anxiety, try to answer anxiety's question when it comes up. So I'm going to give you an example. Again, like I mentioned, this was a session from August. So I was a little bit worried about school and transitioning to college. Obviously, very normal feeling. I have it written down here that I was kind of nervous about not having everything that I needed when I got to my dorm. Like I would forget things or I would not have something that I would realize later on that I needed, etc. So that was like this huge question in my head. Like, will I have everything? You know, will I have what I need, etc.? And that huge question was giving me a lot of anxiety. And so my therapist just said, answer the question. Like, what if you don't have everything when you get to college? And I remember, now that I'm thinking about it, I remember sitting on the like Zoom call with her and I was like, I mean, I guess I would go to Target or I would order from Amazon. It's literally that easy. I had never thought about what I would actually do in that worst case scenario that I kept on creating in my head. And so she was like, Marin, just answer the question. What if you don't have everything? And I was like, okay, I'll go to Target. I'll order from Amazon. I will ask a friend to borrow it. Like, it was that easy and it was that quick of a solution to the building anxiety that I was just creating in my head. And I feel like just anyone can do that. Like, even if you don't have super big anxiety all the time, even if you just have small little worries, this is such an easy technique to apply every day. Just try to answer those questions. When you feel that worry start to creep in and your head is starting to create those worst case scenarios, just actually think about what you would do. And a lot of the time, it's really not even that scary. Okay, this was another session that was really clearly very impactful for me. Another one from August. First concept of this session, another quote that, again, I always know that if I like wrote something down word for word in full sentence form in my notes, I know that I remembered it verbatim and clearly it resonated with me that I remembered exactly how she said it. She said, "You can chase power over something that you have no control over and end up feeling powerless, or realize the control you have over your own choices and understand how powerful you truly are." Maybe do like a 30 second rewind on the podcast or just like listen to that again. Like, damn, if you think about that, that one is a biggie. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm reading it over myself. That one is crazy to think about, that when you really come down to it, if you're continuing to chase power over all of these external things that you will unfortunately never actually have any control over, you'll just always feel powerless because obviously you'll never gain the control that you're looking for. for. But if you actually realize and say to yourself, there is something that I have control over, and that is my own choices, suddenly you have an abundance of power and you have all the control you could ever want. And obviously, like, that feels a lot more empowering to have all these choices at your disposal that are yours to make and do have an impact from you. And that's just empowering, I think. So that's a quote that I definitely say to myself all the time. And yeah, that's a good one. All right, next one is, I'm sure this is like a very common psychological concept. I'm not saying that with any of these, like any of these takeaways, my therapist invented them. I obviously just found a lot of impact in them, so I'm bringing them to the surface here. But this one is probably common in the psychology world, and that is learning about the depression spiral. I remember learning about this and it just making a lot of sense to me, so I thought I would share it here in this episode as well. So the depression spiral is kind of this three-step spiral or staircase that, you know, depression is kind of at the end of it. Not that I am by any means diagnosing anyone with any type of issue, but I do think that everyone at some point in their lifetime probably does go through a slight depressive episode or just feels depressed and just kind of experiences those feelings. So this does apply to everyone in some capacity, in my opinion, at some point. So the three-step staircase, first step is you're kind of thinking everything is bad. Next step is you're thinking everything is bad and it will always be bad. And then that last step, and this is where you kind of reach that really hopeless, depressed point, is when you start to think everything is bad, it will always be bad, and there's nothing that I can do about it. When you start to have more awareness over that like thought spiral, I feel like it's very liberating because you can have this awareness and acknowledgement around your own thoughts heading down that direction, and you can kind of start to maybe stop it in its tracks before it gets too bad. And at each step of the little staircase as well, we had kind of discussed solutions to each thought that was associated with the step. So the first step, it being everything is bad, that's like the thought that you have. Well, if you think everything is bad, a solution to that is to try to find like 5 things a day that you're grateful for, to prove to yourself and like remind your thoughts that not everything is bad. Like, it may feel like a lot of things are tough right now and there's no reason to invalidate that, but you can find a few things and small amounts of things that are good and that can kind of stop that thought pattern in its tracks. The next one, like I mentioned, is when you start to think, well, everything is bad, and then step two, it will always be bad. So to counteract this thought process, you can think to yourself that there really is no way to predict the future, and you can start to create things to look forward to, events, goals, different plans, things in your schedule in the future that you have to look forward to. So something good in the future is going to help you remember that, no, it will not always be bad. There is something next week that I'm looking forward to, or there's this goal that I want to achieve, and once I do, I will feel better, etc. It can kind of stop that second step of thoughts. And then that last step, which again, this actually goes back to what I was saying before about feeling powerless versus powerful. That last step was, there's nothing I can do about it. And to counteract that thought, you really have to remember the agency and autonomy that you have over your choices, and that you have a lot of power over how you feel and how you want to feel. So there are very small things that you can do to change your quality of life on a daily basis. You know, go on a walk or talk to a friend or wear an outfit that makes you feel super confident. All those little things are choices that you can make in the moment, and you do have power, and there is something that you can do about it. So overall, that little staircase, depression spiral, I've been talking for too long, whatever you want to call it, I find it really, really helpful. Again, like, we're just aiming for kind of the awareness of those thoughts, and then you can start to kind of plug in those counteracting thoughts, if you will, so you hopefully don't make it all the way down to the bottom of the spiral and find yourself in a darker place. Okay, this last one is one about anxiety. Again, sorry if you don't struggle with anxiety. One, I'm jealous, and it's great, and go live your life to the fullest. It's really fun. But obviously, I can only speak to my own experience, and I definitely struggle with a lot of anxiety. It's what I talk about a lot with my therapist, so hence why there's a lot of takeaways surrounding that topic. This last one is actually just from my session that I had with her this week, and it really, really helped me reframe how I like give in to my anxiety. You'll see what I mean in a second. But previously, my anxiety tended to tell me before like a big event that I would get nervous for, or a big life transition or change, etc. My anxiety would like just write off the day before, the hour before, the week before as like a stressful time. So example, next week, I'm moving back to school. I'm very excited. And like, don't get me wrong, I am really excited to be back in Boston. And there are so many things I'm looking forward to. But obviously, any kind of change can be kind of stressful sometimes. And I've gotten into my home routine. So I have to get out of that and, you know, start new classes, just get my life back set up in Boston. So I was kind of telling her this week, I was like, you know, this week just feels really stressful, like leading up to next week when I leave next Tuesday. And I was also telling her like, oh my gosh, Monday's just gonna be so stressful, like I'm gonna have so much to do and packing and getting ready and, you know, just stressing, whatever. She's like, Marin, like you are writing off days of your life as just devoted to being stressed. Like, what good does that do for you? And I was like, I don't know, it just makes me feel prepared. And she was like, well, what is that actually gonna do to prepare you? Is writing off an entire day devoted to being stressful, is that gonna actually prepare you more for college? And I was like, okay, fine. No, it's not. And so from there, this was kind of the takeaway that I'm getting at. She suggested, and I love this little visual too, poke holes in the day that feels stressful for you, or poke holes in the week that feels really anxiety producing. The whole day does not have to be stressful. Of course, will next Monday probably have a little bit of anxiety tied to it? Will I probably be a little bit stressed while I'm packing and trying to not forget anything? Sure. But does that mean that from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, I will live in a constant state of stress? No, it's like not realistic. So knowing that that's not realistic allows me to poke holes in the day and plan different things that I can look forward to. Obviously, I'm going to have my workout in the morning. That's something I'm looking forward to. So I know I can count on, okay, from, you know, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., I will be at Lifetime. I will feel good. That's going to be a time where I'm not stressed and I don't have to be. Another thing, I'm probably going to try to take a walk that day just because I know it might be a little more of a stressful day. So I'm going to poke that hole and say on this 20-minute walk to the Starbucks at the end of my street, I'm not going to be stressed and I'm allowed to not be stressed. It doesn't need to be that kind of 0 to 100 or all or nothing response, whatever you want to think of it as, black and white. There is that gray area to live in. And if you are someone who also tends to just let that anxiety build up before something big, this is a really helpful way I found to just make it seem a lot more manageable. Poke those holes, find things to look forward to, and realize that even if you wanted to be stressed 24 hours of the day, it would be hard for you to. Like, there are times you have to be honest with yourself. There are times throughout the day where you just feel neutral or even a little bit anti-anxiety. So even if you wanted to be stressed all the time, you wouldn't be. And that's something good to remember. That's what we want. And you can use that to your advantage to find those time slots where you're able to not feel that anxiety creeping in and not just write off an entire day as being devoted to stress. All right. And right around the 30-minute mark, we are here. I've been trying to keep the episodes around 30 minutes. Let me know if you have any feedback about episode length. I definitely want to hear if they're way too long or way too short. You can always send me a DM at Marin for the Gym on Instagram. Let me know. But that is all I have for you today. I really hope that some of these takeaways meant something to you. If you were listening to them and you were like, oh wow, like that one hit home, definitely let me know, because I would love to find my little mental health community here and would love to hear what resonated for you. With that, I will leave you to it. Have an amazing day. Don't forget that if you enjoy this episode, you can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and you can also rate it on Spotify as well. And for the month of January, I'm doing a little giveaway. So if you do a review on Apple Podcasts and send it to me, you'll be entered to win a Lululemon gift card at the end of the month. Or you can send the podcast to 5 of your friends and send me screenshots of that as well. And you'll be entered that way as well. So if you enjoyed it, I would love your support. It means the world to me. Thank you so much for listening. Truly, truly appreciate you, and have an amazing rest of your day. I will see you in the next episode.